Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you all for being here with us tonight. Praise the name of the Lord. And I just want to say that we're having a full week because we're right in the middle of vacation Bible school. And it's been a good VBS week, and we're in our final night of vacation Bible school. Revival Falls. Amen. So it's been a good week, and we're just ready to celebrate, and we're going to worship tonight and just thank God that we get to be here and get to be in His presence. Amen. Hallelujah.
Father, it's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
You are so good, God, and we just give you glory to you. You are worthy to be praised, Lord God.
Unchangeable, unchangeable story. And when you came down and laid down your life, the ones that you love. You went to the cross, broken and torn. Your love was poured out, your redemption was born. Your sanity was done, your breath held my love. And in His power, your love is made away. Led to the cross, broken and torn. Your love was poured out, your redemption was born. Sanity was done, your breath. There is power, save. There is healing in your name. There is freedom from the grave. Jesus, your love. There is power, save. There is healing in your name. There is freedom from the rain. Jesus, your love is made away.
Oh,
sin, shame, no more, no more.
Fear and doubt, no more, no more. Guilt and shame, no more, no more. Fear and doubt, no more, no more. Guilt and shame.
There is healing in your name. There is freedom from the grave. Jesus, your love is made a way. There is power to save. There is healing in your name. There is freedom from the grave. Jesus, your love has made a way. Jesus, your love has made a way. Jesus, your love's made a way.
Thank you that your love made a way, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, you are worthy. Thank you for all you've done.
Flowing through my veins, this life is flowing through.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He is worthy to be praised.
God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He is worthy. Amen.
Amen. We have to put this back for the kids when you're done. And this has to be on it because this is for Alicia. Don't you be messing up their system.
Oh, my.
I know it.
They have a system in place, let me tell you. Right now, it's going crazy with those kiddos. Amen?
Amen. That's been awesome all week. We've missed two nights, one and one because of an injury. But our grandbabies have had a great time. They're teaching them about faith and how to have faith. Amen? We want to live by faith. It's impossible to please Him without faith. And I think that's a great thing to teach our children, especially in today's world. But not only teach them, but we have to be that example to show them.
Yes, exactly.
Amen. To show them.
Amen. Amen.
That we believe and that we trust who God says He is.
Amen.
And that He'll
Amen.
Do what He says He'll do.
Amen.
And so then our actions line up.
Yes.
With what the Word says. And when we get into that river, that valley, that lonely place, we trust in Him. And what comes out of our mouth is going to be, thank you, Lord, that I don't know what's going on, but I know that you got me.
And letting our children be able to see that is critical.
Amen.
It's one thing for us to be learning them something. It's totally different for us to live out an example in front of them.
Amen. So do you have somebody going to get him?
I was hoping that Philip was going to do it for us. But Caleb. He's outside.
Amen. So women, don't forget. Hello, everybody that's joining us by live stream. Tonight is our final night of VBS. You're not joining by live stream, Carrie. It's okay. He's
he's a live
Touché.
Stream.
Touché.
He's alive.
He is live streaming. Touche. On Facebook. Yes. But welcome, welcome. We welcome you. We're glad you're with us. We invite you to come in with us and be together as a family of faith. Amen. And be part of our worship and stuff. I know that you are at home. And if you're able, come on in and join us. We just love to have you. But women, remember, we have our Bible study again in August, the first Saturday in August at 9 o'clock here at the church. I'm excited about that. And we have Miss Amber Whited. She's going to be giving us the word that day. So if you're new here and you know what's going on, we just started this not too long ago, where we're doing a Bible study the first Saturday of every month. And some different lady from the congregation, because man's not doing it. You can come on up, Caleb, is going to be bringing the word that we have. So we eat and then we share the word. We eat natural food, but then we eat the best. Then we eat spiritual food. Amen? Well, Caleb has an announcement for everybody.
Okay, so if you didn't already know, my mom was pregnant. She had the baby last night, two nights ago, but it was like at midnight. But it is a boy, which is definitely exciting. And we are, number seven now. We named him Jeremiah. Jeremiah Arthur.
Amen.
The backstory behind that is, every time my mom and dad have a baby, they always like pray about it and seek God about what to name us or the new baby. And that mom really felt Jeremiah. And that kind of as a confirmation of that, our doctor, who is a Christian, when Jeremiah was born, she immediately thought of Jeremiah 29:11, because he is here for a reason.
Amen.
And so they got home from the hospital today, this afternoon. So, and they're doing really well. So.
Baby number seven. I love it.
Amen. 9 pounds, 2 ounces. That's a baby, I'm telling you.
You think Linda's this little meek, sweet girl, because she's always, when she was pregnant this time, Linda, I love you, but you know, she got a little grumpy this time.
Uh-oh.
But she's always sweet. She is always sweet. She got some power behind her. That's her third 9-pound baby. She got some power behind her. Don't mess with Linda, because looks are deceiving. Because she can hold her own. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Linda, we're excited for you and Jared and the family, and we love you. And just enjoy the baby. We can't wait to get over and get to hold him and meet him. Asked Seth about him yesterday, and Seth was pretty excited about him. So that was pretty cool. He just kept smiling big.
Amen.
Him and his little brother.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we've got that. I think that's all I have to announce then.
Well, we're having a meeting for the men, remember? This Sunday after church,
yes.
We're having a meeting for the men, because we're going to talk about some exciting things that us men are going to be doing for the second half of the year.
Well, praise the Lord.
Have just been having a time at it. So we're going to meet as the men group. We're going to group up for just a few minutes and discuss some things, and then we're going to be good to go from there.
Amen.
And that's going to be a blessing.
Amen. I'm telling you, though, that the Lord told us to do it. Like, I was praying about things, and I'd had it written out because we were having meetings with people that are over stuff and just trying to get this year and see what this year is going to look like. And one of the things that the Lord told me was to do, I had it written down, women's Bible study or breakfast, and I put a question mark. Didn't know it was going to become both, but, you know, I just kind of put that in there. And then another lady in the church came up to me or called us, said, can we meet? We want to run some stuff by you. So we said, sure. So went out to eat with them. And when we were sitting there, she brought up the idea. And I said, no way. That's confirmation that we have to do this. Like, this is something that the Lord is putting in our midst, because we as women of the Lord, we're strong. Amen. Amen. But there are times that we go through hard times. And because we're so strong, we don't want to show our hard times. We don't want to admit that we're weak in some areas, right? Like, I don't want you to see my weakness. I don't want you to see where I could step up a little, you know, or trip up a little bit and stuff. And so, but this is so good, because we're sharing our weaknesses with one another and saying, you're not alone.
You know, we're doing the word. We're saying we're doing what the word says and loving on each other and, mm-hmm. and saying we don't all have it figured out, right? Not one person, but Jesus had it all figured out.
Amen.
We're walking this walk together. And so it's beautiful to see the camaraderie that is happening with the women. I love it. So I'm excited for it. And I think then that's all I got, right?
Yep. I think that's all you got for right now.
Okay.
And then I think what we're going to do is in the middle of the book of Matthew, chapter 23, verse 23, it says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and onyx and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, such as judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done and to not leave the other undone." You know, when we are thinking about our faith, and like right now we're getting ready to take up the offering, but the offering is just one aspect of what we do and who we are as the body of Christ. Amen? And this is just one component of your faith. You know, it says here clearly that we have to make sure that even if we're giving tithes and offerings, we have to make sure that we are looking at law, judgment, mercy, and faith. You know, it's important that if you're tithing that you're also forgiving people. It's important that if you're tithing, you're also giving mercy to people. It's important that if you're a tither, that you're also living in the other areas of your life as holy as you possibly can and knowing that you're pleasing God. These things are all critical in your walk of faith, and they're all critical in pleasing God and serving God. Amen? So we want to make sure that we are people that are tithing, but doing the other things that make us a Christian, which is being loving and kind one to another, making sure that we're giving mercy to each other, making sure that when we can, that we're offering forgiveness and that we're walking in unity together as a body of Christ. Amen? And this is how we present ourselves, and this is what we do for the Lord. Amen? And so we're just going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, God, that as people bring their tithes and offerings forward, Lord, that this is just one aspect of what we do, but it's a critical aspect, God, because there are promises and there are things that you have connected with the tithing and giving covenant that is covered in the word of God. God, it says you'll rebuke the devourer on our behalf and that you'll open up the windows of heaven and you'll pour out blessing that we will not have room enough to contain it. And Lord, we just thank you for that. And we pray and declare your blessing over the offering tonight. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Jesus. Amen. Woo! Well, I'm getting some help in preaching there right now.
Huh?
Said I'm getting some help preaching that gospel right now.
I'm coming. I'm going to sit down and bless the Lord.
Amen. Well, we're going to go to the book of Psalms.
We're about to. Can you hold on, Mr. Mr. Judah's wanting to help us preach tonight.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm getting some help preaching the gospel tonight.
It's okay.
Yeah, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In Psalms 127, you know, this is Vacation Bible School week, and we're going to take just a couple minutes here to talk about some things. Like it says in Psalms 127, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." You know, this scripture here is about, first of all, that we should never try to build something on our own. And I'm not just talking about a natural house that you build, but even the household that lives within the house. Amen? as a married couple, as a family of faith, you should never try to build anything on your own power and by your own strength. And even though you're living in an actual house, even that house, I pray that you prayed over it, even if you might not have built it and you just moved into it. I pray that you've prayed and dedicated your house and your whole family and everybody to the Lord, and that you believe that your house is sanctified by the Lord and by his goodness. Amen?
Amen.
It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Hello, this is always a warning to us. Whenever we deal with trusting the Lord, we have to deal with truly trusting the Lord. You know, if we're up early and late and we're worried about everything and we're eating the bread of sorrows, it means that we're wasting time when we should be resting in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You know, the Bible says, casting all of your care upon me because I care for you. Amen? And so we have to be careful that we're not building something on our own strength and that we're really taking the time to relax in God.
Amen. You know, some people, when we talk about that, and I've heard, and even myself, say, how do you do that? I remember when I was younger, I would hear certain things. And I'd say, how? Okay, I get that you're supposed to do that. But how do I turn my brain off? How do I do that? You got to give me application. Like, I hear the word, and then the Lord started showing me scripture where it talked about taking control of the thoughts that were coming into my mind. That watching what I am putting into myself, because what comes in comes out, but focusing on not allowing the thoughts just to continue running.
Amen.
So if you grab them when it starts, right, and you just start speaking to your own thoughts.
Yeah.
Right, because we're a three-part being.
Yes.
Spirit, soul, and flesh.
Yes.
And so we...
The Bible says, bring every thought into captivity of the name of Jesus. Amen.
It does.
Amen.
And that means stop thinking. Most of the stuff that's keeping you up at night, and some of us, are the worries of what's going on in our lives. Is it not? You can't shut your brain down about how do I fix this? And I think that we have to come to the realization that we can't fix anything. Right? What did we fix in our life to this point? We fixed our life because we said, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you to take me where you need to do. You're going to heal me. You're going to take care of all of this bitterness and anger. And I'm just going to let it go. And I'm going to follow after you. And God came in and he fixed you. Right? And he's still fixing us today. Because the Bible says that we go from glory to glory to glory. Right? So there's different levels. So we're still being fixed today. So you can't fix it.
Amen.
Try as much as you want to, right? But you're not going to be able to fix it. You know, I think about the children of Israel in the desert. And when God was providing their light, the cloud, to keep them protected, he was providing their manna. He was providing everything for them, but it wasn't as cushy as it was in Egypt. And Egypt wasn't cushy. They were slaves. Egypt wasn't cushy. You're out in the wilderness now, and you're not worried about your food because God's bringing it to you, right? He's providing every bit of it every morning. He was faithful to them. And they still complained and murmured because it didn't look like they wanted it to look like.
Yeah, amen.
You know?
Yep.
And so our minds have to be brought under. It has to be renewed.
Yep.
You have to renew your mind by the word.
Amen.
Because if you just think that if we're just going to come into a church service on Thursdays and Sundays or whatever days that whoever's watching goes to church and that's going to renew your mind, sis, our brother, I'm telling you, it ain't going to work.
Amen. We got to put that word in us.
We have to put that word in. How else do we know who our Savior is?
Amen.
How do we get to know him in an intimate way if we're not reading his word?
Amen.
If we're not speaking, spending time with him,
Amen.
You know? And changing
Amen.
Our thoughts.
Amen.
Changing the way that we think by the word, renewing the mind.
Amen.
And keeping it set on things above.
Amen.
Not things here.
Amen. Amen. And it says here that when it comes to raising children, it says, lo, children are an inheritance of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. So one thing I want to do is for all of you who have been involved in Vacation Bible School and all of you as parents who are raising your children in the admonition of the Lord, I want to thank you for taking the time to invest in them like the Word of God says we should. Amen?
Amen.
Because this is a critical time for them, in that even as a young age, it says that a lot of the learning that children will do is from the age of 3 to 5. By the time your children are 5, they have a good basis of what they're going to learn and how they're going to learn in life. And so we got to make sure that during that time that we are investing in them and putting the Word of God in them. Amen?
Amen. And showing them the example.
Yes.
You can't just say, Jesus didn't come to this earth and just tell us what to do or teach us about the Word. He was the example of how we are to live.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't teach it one way and then live it another. You know, and neither can we. We cannot be the reason our children or grandchildren, our nieces or nephews or neighbor kids are the reason that they don't serve the Lord.
Amen.
Because they say, they look at them.
Yep.
I never Amen. See joy in them.
Amen.
They're supposed to be Christians serving the Lord, and they're supposed to be loving and have joy, and they don't have any joy in them. Well, that speaks loud, right? Think about Jesus with Judas.
Yep. Even though he knew he was going to betray him, he treated him like he did the other 11.
Yep.
And he treated him with respect and kindness throughout the whole time that he was a part of the ministry, even up until the day he betrayed him. Because even on that day, he says, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. He knew what he was going to do. He knew what Judas was going to do. But he never behaved in a way towards Judas that allowed Judas to know that he knew, right? Never treated him any different than he did the other disciples. Never loved him any less. Why? There's many reasons, I think, why. But the biggest reason was, is Jesus couldn't hold an offense in his heart towards anything or anybody. He couldn't sin. And so for him to be mad at Judas, the Bible does say angry and sin not. So you can be angry without sin. And he was when he flipped the table over, right? We saw that in the Word. But for him to have an offense or something against Judas would have been a sin.
Yep.
And he couldn't. So he just loved him through it. Think about that. Think about it from the perspective of, you know, well, why should I be nice to them? Because we know I don't want them to be feeling comfortable. I don't feel comfortable around them. Look at how they treat me. Why should I just be nice to them and let them be comfortable? And you know how you go off about it. We women, we could go on for 2 hours off of one little stupid look, sideways look, can't we? Right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But what's the point? What's the point? It isn't hurting them, it's hurting us.
Right.
It's a thing in our heart. It's an ought in our heart. It's something that's in us. And then when we do that, guess who's listening? Our babies are listening.
Mm-hmm.
Our babies are listening, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we got other people that are watching, constantly watching. Listen, if people know you're a Christian, you're under a microscope.
Yes.
Everything you say, do,
yes.
eat, drink, sleep, speak, anything you do is under a microscope.
Yes.
People will look at you and they did it to Jesus. It says if they did it to him, how much more would they, you know, were we going to have to face it
Amen.
As well? So
Amen.
We have to make sure that in those times that our character remains good, not only for ourselves, but for the next generation. If they see us blow up every time we can't pass a car because they got in front of us and slowed down and put on the brakes, and we just started screaming, what are they going to do? Let me tell you what they're going to do. Because this is what my son did when he went to get his driver's license. Am I not lying? Honk at him, Mom. Honk at him. And then he started driving, and people would pull out, and he'd honk. And I'd say, what are you doing? He said, that's what you do. You honk at him all the time. I said, okay, we're not doing this no more. Stop honking at people. You are not honking at people anymore. Like, he'd literally be sitting up front with me and try to reach over and honk the horn when I was driving. I'm like, stop. But I didn't realize we have habits.
Yeah.
That we don't pay attention to. And I wouldn't scream or yell or cuss them out because you can't do that. I can't do that. I wouldn't do that. But I can honk at him. That horn tells him, I'm not happy with you. Get out of my way. And he picked up on that quick, didn't he? He would honk.
He sure
and finally
did.
I had to say, Philip, you're done using that horn.
Yep.
Stop
yep.
it. Unless somebody's going to wreck you, you cannot use that horn anymore.
Amen. That's why it says here, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. In other words, young children are like arrows.
Yep.
And how they see you have is the direction that you're going to send them. And so we got to make sure that how we're acting is the direction we want to see them go. Amen?
Amen.
Because they are going to be honed out and chiseled into what we make them. And so God has given you children, and you are the one who are going to make them into who he's supposed to be, of course, with the Lord leading them and guiding them. But you have your part to play. So that's one thing I liked about the Vacation Bible School, is this is an opportunity for these kids to really get some extra deposits in them. So I thank everybody that's been a part of bringing children here.
Absolutely.
And doing that part of this.
Yes.
And for all of us who are, even if our children are grown, we still have people that we can be a father or mother figure to. And we still have people Absolutely. That are going to cross our path that need an influence in their life. They can even be of our similar in age, and they still need to see an influence of somebody who's following after Christ.
That's
Amen?
True. Amen.
And you can still be a person of connection to people that would look up to you just knowing that you're a Christian. Amen?
That's true.
Even in your own age group. So we want to make sure that we're following up and making sure that we're doing all we can to live for the Lord so that we make sure that people can follow after us. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Uh-oh.
They're little recorders, right?
Yes, they
truly
they are
little recorders.
Yeah.
And sponges, and
unfortunately,
truth. And it's not just your voice, it's your actions.
Yep.
And it's the things you say. I noticed being with JJ and Emma staying with us. They'll do something and I'll say, "What? What?" And now JJ does that. "What? What?" And I just watch him and I think, huh. They really pay attention more than we ever think they do about mm-hmm. what's going on around them. And they remember more things. They've spent a couple times with you guys. They've come to your house. You guys have went to the pumpkin show together, Logan, my babies, and Josh and Julie. And they know. They remember Logan, Amber, Kedro. I think Kedro's the first one I hear. Elizabeth, Amory, and I don't think that they talk as much
about
Ashton, but the other ones, they do, because they remember so much that we don't think they do, and people have an effect on kids that you don't even know you do, even passing a child, smiling at them and saying hello to them could change their day.
Yep.
You know, just showing forth the love of Christ, even if it's not your own, you know, could just change a child's day. Amen?
Yep, amen.
So it's always in our behavior. It's
yep.
not just that we're reading the word and understanding the word,
but how we
living
treat
the word.
And how we treat people by living the word. Mm-hmm. Amen? And making sure that we're living it on a day-to-day basis mm-hmm. so that people can see it reflected in us. And in our actions, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, I just want to say again that this is one of the most protective times we have for being able to instill in something in our children that will hold on to them for the long haul and for the rest of their life. And so we want to make sure that we're doing all we can while children are young, to invest in them and to really touch them and to really do all we can to make sure that we're training them up in the admonition of the Lord. Amen?
Amen. And in the Bible, and I don't remember where the scripture's at, but it says to lay up an inheritance for your children's children.
Yes.
You know,
an inheritance.
And we often think, of course, of money and putting an inheritance aside, you know, and trying to get that going for them. But what about
a spiritual
inheritance for them? You know, I look at, we've got pastor, obviously he's our pastor, the apostle of this church, and then his daughter. And now his granddaughter was helped leading pump, and his grandsons, they've been to Africa. Lincoln's prayed over there over people. He's given a message, I think,
yep.
over in Africa. And I watch these second and third and fourth generation Christians that have been had an inheritance laid up for them. Not just an earthly inheritance, but a heavenly inheritance. They have been taught the word. They have seen the word. They have watched. Your mother laid up an inheritance for you.
Yeah. Amen.
She was always praying. At night, you could hear her praying.
Yep, exactly.
Amen.
In fact, I used to go to bed and try to wake up just so I could hear her pray, because at nighttime, she'd be in the room next to me, and she'd get to praying and singing, and I would just like to listen to her pray sometimes. So I would go to my bed early, and then I'd wake up just to hear her praying at nighttime.
Amen. And you don't stop praying for your babies because they're older, because she would pray for their, for her babies, and his brother Larry had gone to the military, come back, yep, and was driving a car. He was out late, and yep, it was like middle of the night or something, right? Well, yep, you tell the story. This is your story. I'm just kind of remembering some of it.
Yeah, what happened was my mom came in, and she woke up us four younger children that were still at home, and she made all of us get ready. And I was like, Mommy, what's going on? And she said, well, she said, your brother's been in an accident, and they're going to call us. And we've got to be ready to go because we're going to have to go where he is. And sure enough, I thought, what in the world? We're sitting up in the middle of the nighttime. I'm thinking, what in the world is she talking about? But now I understand it. You know, lo and behold, she had heard God, and she'd been up praying about my brother. And sure enough, we got a phone call that he'd been in a crazy accident. And even the state patrolman there ended up giving his life to the Lord because my mom came, and he said, you know, he said he had never seen such an accident like that where someone survived.
Amen. Amen. That is amazing. Leave a legacy of not just an inheritance, of not just, you know, to provide for their future monetarily, but more importantly, I'd give them Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus will take care of everything else.
Amen.
I'd give them Jesus. Amen. The yeah, foundation that we should all build our yes, families on.
Yep.
And he said, me and my children, yep, shall me and the seed, my seed.
Yep.
And let me tell you what, not only is Josh and Philip my seed, but so is Emma and JJ. They're my seed.
Amen.
Right? Because they only exist if I don't exist. Amen. And yep, so I'm believing that the prayer of that scripture goes well beyond my kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids, and I can pray this in the generations of walkers to come shall
amen,
be saved, or
amen,
Hickses, in the name amen, of Jesus, shall amen, be saved.
Yep, yep, yep. In fact, one day I saw that where the Lord was showing me that my dad, you know, had been a kind of a worldly man, even though he was a good father.
Yeah.
And the Lord showed me one day that by changing the way that I was growing up, that I could actually end up changing my bloodline. And now Philip hasn't had to go through any of the things that I went through in my youth because we changed that for him before he ever had to experience it.
We're the curse breakers.
Yep, absolutely.
We were the ones that be that. You have to be that for your family. You have to be that. Some people are the solitaire in their family. And by that, that you could be the only one saved in your family. I'm the solitaire in my family. So
yep,
what do I do with that? I pray. I pray over my sisters. I pray over my brother. Even if we don't have relationships, I pray with them or before them, because who else is going to pray for them? You know? Teach our children every night before we go to bed. We get Emma and JJ in bed. We have to calm them down first. This process, man. I'm too old for this process. We go to bed, we lay down, and either I go to sleep or I don't, and I get up if I don't go to sleep, and he snores. That's our process, not theirs.
Amen.
Nope, they got to hit each other, they got to kick each other, they got to touch each other, they got to pretend that they didn't do it. It's a process, I'm telling you. Sorry, yeah, it's a process. When you're older and you haven't had kids, my baby's 30. These kids wear me out.
Yeah, they do.
But we pray every night. And if we don't pray, like two nights ago, when JJ got hurt,
right,
I was just exhausted because it had been a long day. That boy is crying all day, poor thing. And Emma said, Grandma, are we going to pray?
Yeah.
And every night, we start praying, thanking God for the time we get together, thanking God for their lives, thanking God for growing them, and then we start praying blessings over family members. And they will sit there and make sure that we list and name every single one of their family members that is related to their mom, her sister, the two babies that she has, and Josh's dad and his wife. We list them all. Even the dogs, we have to list the dogs in there. Why? Mm-hmm. Because they're learning that if you want to have blessing, you got to pray and ask the Lord to bless. They're learning that the Lord is the source of where we go to for all things. If they get hurt, what do? We pray go over and pray for them and pray for the Lord to heal them.
Yep.
The Lord is the source of all things. We're examples.
And they respond to those prayers. They really do.
They do.
I think it's neat because during our evening prayer time, when we're praying in bed, they can't help but start calling stuff out, especially JJ. Even sometimes you've already prayed for mom, and he'll say, pray for mommy, you know, pray for daddy. And you've already prayed for them, but it's just interesting
to
see.
He's making sure mama gets double blessing or something. I don't know, because every night is mommy. Like, you're praying, and you're all the way past mom, and you're like to Mimo and Poppy, and he's like, mommy, pray for mommy. We got you, buddy. We got mommy. But they're sponges. Like, they just know there's a sweetness in their hearts, and we need to keep that in there. Amen? And we do that by teaching them the love of Christ, not just talking about it.
Amen.
Watch, like, the Bible does say correction.
Yes.
And we've talked about correction and what we believe correction, spare the rod, spoil the child. But it doesn't say do it in anger and do it in a nasty manner. Doesn't say that. It's funny how I've learned a lot from when Philip was a little boy and now dealing with my grandbabies. I'm just being honest with you. I was really rough and raw with Philip. Unlearned in some of the areas of how to deal with situations, right?
Yeah.
Just, my parents weren't saved. I didn't grow up in a saved home, right? I didn't at all. And so the discipline sometimes was anger.
Yeah.
Mad because you're doing that. Mad because you messed that up. Mad because you broke that. It was in anger. And not with love of sitting them down and helping them understand completely what your transgression was. And this is why why is that important? How do they learn if we just scream and yell? We teach them fear that way.
Yep.
Right?
Amen.
And I'm just telling you, I'm guilty of that. That my parenting with Philip, and I tell Nicole and Ashley this all the time, that I wish that I would have parented differently with Philip.
Yeah.
And been kinder. Because Philip was a soft, gentle soul.
Yes.
And I was a whirlwind.
Yeah.
So know who your kids are too.
Yeah, it's interesting because that's what one of our final scriptures here says in Ephesians chapter 6. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In other words, you know, even when you're disciplining your children, it should be something that you do under control and not at a point of wrath and anger and bitterness, so that you can really get that. You know, I remember sometimes there's a couple times where you might get yelled at for something you did wrong. Mm-hmm. But if it's harsh enough, you'll not even care, because the harshness of how you're being treated will cause bitterness. Mm-hmm. And you'll say, well, I know I was wrong, but man, they're yelling at me like that or treating me that way.
It'll cause you to turn off your even I care button.
Yeah.
Right? I have a cousin that when she was younger, her dad would spank her, and he wouldn't spank her light. We got spanked. Listen, when I say we got spanked, we got spanked. There are hand marks. We got spanked. And he would spank her, and she would laugh in his face, because she got to a point in her life at a young age that she wasn't showing anybody they hurt her. She was that broken. I could say that crazy, but, I mean, there were some of her that had a little crazy in her, for sure. But I would have been bawling if I'd have got the whipping she got. And she would sit there and laugh in his face to basically tell him, you're not hurting me. you're not hurting me anymore. Her dad had been an alcoholic. And so, of course, his harshness and stuff was due to, I'm not giving, he's right. passed away now, and he sobered up in his later years, and I'm not speaking against him at all. But I'm just saying, you know, she got hardened in a heart at a very, very young age because of the way that discipline came forth, right? And she determined, I don't care, nobody's going to hurt me again. And so what does that do? That builds a wall up and says, I'm going to protect myself at all costs. I don't care. I ain't going to ever let you see me bleed, right? And so we have to watch that harshness and make sure we're not putting that harshness on our children, that we're truly doing it. It's like the Lord talks to me straight out when when he's correcting me. I get corrected all the time by the Lord. I'm just telling you, if you don't get corrected, you can come to me and tell me how to be better. I get corrected.
Yeah.
I just do. Me I do. Too. The Lord's got to get in there, you know? Yes, Carrie, I know you know. That hard head. I know. He's like, maybe. No, but I get corrected. And I have to, and he tells me strong and tells me straightforward.
Straightforward.
But I know that he loves me. There's love behind it, right? And it's for my good, even if he's telling me something that's wrong. And I think that we're wrapping up because I think the babies are coming back in. So you wrap it up.
Okay, I tell you what, I think we're getting ready here for the finishing up of Vacation Bible School. So we're going to go ahead and get
ready.
Okay,
yeah, we
so
get
we're
to finish
go
it up
ahead
with
and,
them, amen?
And let these guys finish up Vacation Bible School, and we get to be a part of the finishing.
Amen.
Are you going to put that down?
Yeah, put that down over there for Alicia.
All right, welcome to Revival Falls, where faith is a way of living. First, we all want to thank Pastor Phil and Pastor Regina for allowing us to take over the church for a week. We promise to clean up the mess before we go. So I just want to touch base a little bit. We have been learning about faith all week long. And so I just want to go over kind of a little bit what we have learned about that. So the first night we learned that faith is believing what you can not see and expecting what you don't already have. We learned how to use our faith. How to have childlike faith is important. And that we can do mighty things for the kingdom of God, even though that we are little, right?
Yep.
Amen. And so we also have some incredible prizes that we're going to give away. But first, we would like to do a song with you, if you would stand up and do it with us.
Woo!
Today. So children, don't go very far. I need Jesse. Jesse has agreed to be our brave volunteer. This was all Jared's idea, let me tell you. And he is going to come hold. That's not all. Jared, no, okay. Jared would be upset because it's his mom's. So everybody back up, and we're going to let the tiny little ones, okay?
Where's Jared?
it was Jerry. Do you want me to put it on the ground? I don't know. It was Derek's idea. Derek said, here, do the pinata. Yeah. He has very long arms.
Okay, wait, what? Where are you going at?
Yep, they're little. There you go, off to the side. All right, here's the Can you hear me? Okay. Have a seat, please, kiddos. Okay, that's fine. We got a couple more. All right, go have a seat.
All right, mate, I feel bad for you. Why'd you take the candy?
I wanted it.
Now, we've told him over and over and over and over and over and over. He just keeps taking it. Where did you guys learn how to tie knots? And you see this? All right, just get up. Just come on. Get, I said, come on. All right, sit down. Sit down. All right. Here's your options, mate. Now, we've been trying all week. Turn around. We've been trying all week. You either go to church or you go to jail. Which one's it going to be?
No, I think I'll go to church.
Are you playing with me?
No.
Are you being serious?
Yes.
What do you guys think? We should let him go. You think we should let him go? All right. Hold on. All right. Here's what I need you to do. That's it. You guys cover him. Sit him down. Keep him covered. Don't let him go. Where's the little cowpoke? We didn't bring it. Okay. Now, if you want to keep him locked up, put him in jail, raise your hand. And you can make some noise. That's okay. Okay. If you guys think that he can start living by faith, right, because that's what Revival Falls is all about. If you think he can start living by faith and go to church, raise your hand and make some noise. Today's your lucky day. All right, now you guys going to make noise. Come on, stand up. Make noise.
I don't trust that one.
It doesn't matter. You're going to trust him. You got to love him. Oh. All right, now, here's what you got to do. You got to give back everything you stole. So now what I want you to do, with my deputies, You guys make sure he gives it all out. Don't take any of it. Take that around to the people who joined us this week at Revival Falls and give them a little bit of candy. Let's hear it for Bandit Bob. He did something right. No candy for the adults, I'm sorry. Make sure you pass it all out. Hey, check his pockets. Make sure he's really living a changed life back there. All right. No, it's all good. Just keep passing out candy. Did you guys have a good week? Did you? Did you guys enjoy my deputies? Yeah? You want to applesauce them? Well, I held nothing in that. The sheriff shall not be applesauced. All right, Bandit Bob. All right, Bandit Bob. You're running a thin line.
Deputies, I definitely agree with the deputies.
No, I agree. I think you should.
Deputies! 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 Deputies!
All right, so now it's time for prizes. All right, I know you guys have been waiting all week for this, huh? So first, we're going to do our memory verse game, but I need a couple of volunteers that want to come help. How about... Let's see. How about Carter? Liz and Aiden. Aiden, I said your name, buddy. Come on up here. All right. You're going to say your memory verse. Do you remember? He's raising his hand and he doesn't even know what he's going to do. Do you remember our memory verse? All right. Are you ready to go? You think you can do it? All right.
2 Corinthians 5:7. We step, walk with faith, by faith, not by sight.
Very good, Carter. Go see Miss Beth and she'll get you a prize. All right, Liz, you think you can do it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, she seems pretty confident. All right.
2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight.
Good job. All right. Here, let's come up here so everybody can see you. All right. You ready?
2 Corinthians 5:7.
For we walk by faith, not by sight. Good job. Go get your prize. All right. Hold on. Let me find my paper. I need somebody to get me a helper. I need my theme nights. Who won the theme nights? Random prize drawing. Well, Amber's standing back there against the wall with it. All right. I do have something for you, too. Oh. Oh. So you want to put the microphone? I guess.
So as a thank you, because this is Alicia's first time directing VBS, me, the staff, and all the children wanted to give her and Steve a thank you gift. So.
Thank you. Oh, that's super cute. Thank you so much. I love it. That thing is heavy. Wow. I'm going to stick it up there so everybody can peek at it. All right. Thank you guys so much. So, our theme winners for tonight, if everybody can't tell, tonight was our crazy hair night. For our boy theme winner, we have Kaysen. I said Kaysen. Good job, buddy. Go over there and see Beth, and she'll help you get your prize. And our girl theme winner is Elizabeth. All right, so every night the kids get entered into a drawing if they bring friends or special guests for our visitor contest. So I'm going to need somebody who wants to come up. Pastor Phil, would you like to come draw a name? You want to say it or you want me to say it?
Kaysen.
Kaysen, you win our visitor night contest. He wins a $10 gift card to Walmart, Reese cups, and a squirt gun bundle pack. All right, so we're going to draw four random prizes. You want to draw? No. You don't really want? Well, you want to draw?
Sure.
Beth? He's out of here. You want her to draw your name, JJ? Let's see what we got. Cooper! Ava. Kenzie Massey. And one more. Let's see who we have.
I expect something for this kid. Especially you, Levi.
Levi Kaiser.
Somebody took my paper of my offering amount off my...
Just a second. Sorry. Somebody seemed to grab our offering amount off of my desk, or I didn't get it. So I'll explain exactly. We do, every night we do take up an offering, boys versus girls. And we take it all week long, and whoever raises the most,
this is Alicia.
the girls or the boys, they get to vote this year to applesauce me or the sheriff deputies. Yeah. And we're all voting for the deputies. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think the deputies would be a great idea. Yeah. All right. So here we go. The boys, drumroll please, have a total of $111. Yeah. We had some very big givers today. And the girls, drum roll. The girls have a total of $145. So sorry, boys. So we will vote for who we're going to applesauce in a moment, right after we draw for our grand prize. This is our last ticket that we have to draw. Adam, you want to come draw? If he draws a Kaiser, it's automatically disqualified. Just saying, boys. All right, who you got?
Kadriel.
Kadriel Johnson! And he wins a $10 gift card to Walmart, a water shooter, Reese cups, Skittles, and a laser tag game. Yeah. All right. So now it's the time to vote. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm probably going to need somebody up here to help me decide. We're going to just do noise level. So if you don't like a lot of noise, you might want to plug your ears. So. Just a moment. Just a moment. Hey, hey, hey. The only ones who get to vote are the girls. So you boys, you're not allowed to vote. This is the girls' vote. So the girls get to vote who is going to be applesauce because they're winners. The deputies or me. Right. All right. So I'm going to count. 2, 3, and if you want me to be applesauce, then you're gonna yell, okay? Ready? 1, 2, 3. That sounded like there were some not very girly voices in there. Yeah. All right, girls only. Now, if you want the deputies, girls, to be applesauce, I'm going to count to 3, and you're going to make some noise. 1, 2, 3. All right, boys. Look at Isaiah back there on the ground. Sorry, boys. You better go get ready. All right, I need everybody to stay seated. So this is how this is going to go, okay? If you want to watch the deputies to be applesauce, that's great. But we are going to probably dismiss you to your parents first, and then your parents can bring you outside so that you can watch, okay? So I need everybody to stay in your seat until one of the ladies in the back calls your name, okay? All right.
Please stay seated, children, if you have not had your name called.